The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Celebrate the season. A fresh blanket of snow has transformed Grand Traverse Resort and Spa into a winter wonderland full of Christmas cheer and holiday festivities. They've lined up a long list of activities for kids to enjoy over the holiday school break, and adults can make plans now to celebrate New Year's Eve with Grand Traverse Resort. Choose from their 8-course strolling dinner with live music, dancing, and champagne toast at midnight, or a romantic dinner on the 16th floor of their tower at the Airy Restaurant and Lounge. December also means it's officially gift-giving season. Reward yourself with a $50 gift certificate for every $500 resort gift card purchase. Must be purchased by January 1st. Need a little help getting party ready? The spa has you covered with a Nova Lash special offer and great savings on HydraFacial treatments to give you that holiday glow. It's time to get up and go with a winter vacation at Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. For room availability and rates, call 800-236-1577 or visit GrandTraverseResort.com. That's GrandTraverseResort.com. Now let's take a listen in to part of this week's Inside Michigan Basketball Podcast, Sam Webb with Tim McCormick. You can get it on the MichiganInsider.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. But here is a sampling for you of this week's Inside Michigan Basketball Podcast.
We're rolling now. Got a growing following for this basketball podcast, and it helps, Tim, that this Michigan basketball team is off to a terrific start, the start of the Juwan Howard era. And the start of this podcast, man, it couldn't have started at a better time for us.
We did pick a good year, didn't we? I mean, if the team was 1-8, nobody's going to be listening to our podcast.
Right.
But I was so encouraged by what I saw in the last week. Not only the Iowa game, but the Louisville game. The growth was something to really enjoy. And think about this. Michigan scored 43 points in the game against Louisville. They scored 50 in the first half, 53 in the second half against Iowa. So that, to me, shows that Michigan is growing.
Yeah, I felt like the Louisville loss, and we got into this, it was a scheduling loss. I mean, you go down, you got the battle for Atlantis, those three games, back-to-back-to-back, flight short turnaround, going into the number one team in the country who's probably been focusing on you for weeks because they haven't played anything close to what Michigan had played. So it all adds up to that being an L, but bouncing back from that, not that, there would be a team that would be terribly down based on that game, but it was their first adversity, Tim. So I'm curious as a player and as a coach, when you evaluate how they responded, what do you think?
Well, the term is bounce back ability. And that's what basketball is about. This year, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, Michigan may not have their best game. And some of those, they're going to need to find a way to scrap and win without the A game. And so think about this, Sam. It reminds me of when I was in 7th grade. I was intrigued with fishing, and we moved to Clarkston, and we were close to a lake. And so I got a rowboat, an old rowboat that had some holes in it, and I went fishing the first day, and I dug up some worms, and I went to a spot that looked pretty good, and I fished there for 2 hours and didn't get a single bite. The next time came out, I thought, okay, I need to evolve. I need to search a little bit. And so I found some new spots, and I tried some lures, and I tried a fast retrieve, then a slow retrieve, and I started figuring it out a little bit. I expanded my game, and that's what this Michigan team is going through right now. All these players know is John Beilein, right? They know his terminology. They know the way he operates his offense, the expectations. So all the players are adjusting. They're fishing. They're looking for new lures right now. Juwan Howard, all he knows coming in is the NBA game. He hasn't been around college in 25-plus years. Phil Martelli only knows being a head coach. It's an adjustment for everybody, and I can see that trust is building. The roles are being defined. This is a process that is going to continue on and on and on. They're gonna figure out how to play against zone. They're going to operate their own zone better. They're going to learn how to play 100-point pace. They're going to learn how to play at a 50-point pace. There is so much adjustment, And so right now, this whole team's in a rowboat, and they're searching for that spot that's going to get them to their eventual goals.
You know, it was watching them last week and getting ready for the upcoming games. I know they weren't doing this, but I felt like, you know what, the Iowa game is the game. That's the one that of greater importance. Not to say that you de-emphasize Louisville. I know they didn't do that, but Iowa was the one that you had to get. It's a home game. It's a league game. So it was imperative that they bounce back quickly, and they did. And you mentioned a couple of things, Tim. You said, you know, they're going to learn to play against zone better. Last week you said, hey, you know, they need to allow John Teske to be more of a facilitator. Both of those things were themes in the game to me, that John Teske as a facilitator, you watch him in that contest operate from the high post in the middle of the zone, looking to me like a guy. You know, the best example that I can come up with here in recent memory was, you know, you go back and look at Mitch McGarry in the Final Four against Syracuse dissecting that zone. Now, I know that Iowa isn't nearly the defensive team that Syracuse team was, or nearly the defensive team that practically any team is. They don't play much defense. But still, I was impressed with how comfortable Michigan was attacking that zone. I was impressed with how comfortable John Teske was operating in the middle of that zone.
I watched a Michigan practice about a month ago, and they worked against zone the entire time. And when I see Teske, he is so long. He's almost 7'2", and the ability to see over the defense, to be poised in the pocket, it kind of reminds me of Shea Patterson is not a tall quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And early this season, he had a tough time throwing over the offense and the defensive line. The football program needed to roll him out, to move the pocket a little bit. Elvis Gerback, he could see over the line. John Navarre, those are big quarterbacks. I think that John Teske is like Gerback, and I think he has the ability, like John Navarre, to see over the line and deliver the ball. And I think that pocket presence is going to come with time. He needs more reps, and he can pass the ball effectively out of the high post. He can post up and pass it. The more reps he gets, the more his teammates will also find how to find that space so that they can get open shots. I think Michigan's going to be hard to zone with this team.
Yeah, man. You know, you watch him. He kicked out for an open three. He had a bounce pass for, you know, dunk for Brandon John. So it was encouraging, to say the least, to watch, again, how comfortable they looked attacking that zone. It was one of those games where early on, you know, I'm a homer in some respects. I felt like
what?
I felt like the refs weren't very generous when it came to John Teske and some of the deference that you would think he would command as a senior. So they tagged him with a couple of fouls. And that was an issue when it came to defending Luka Garza, which we will talk about coming up. But it forced Michigan to have to go to their bench, deeper into their bench, Tim, and a couple of guys really took advantage of their increased minutes. And I'm curious what you thought of the showing from Austin Davis and the showing from Brandon Johns, who I just mentioned in that game.
That was my favorite moment of the whole year. Even the battle for Atlantis. Like I like a team that is having fun. And Michigan has four double-figure scorers. They've each received their accolades. We've pumped up Teske and Simpson. And we love the play of Eli Brooks. He's a breakout star for sure. All of these guys have been in the limelight. And Isaiah Livers is their top scorer, so he's on that list too. What about the fact that Austin Davis, who I've known since he was a freshman in high school, has been resilient? Like, it's not easy to sit on the bench and say, you know, I could do that. Give me a chance. For him to step out in a sold-out game and be such a key factor was huge. I look at it this way. Think about on a bad team, the bench is like a prison. You know, you're just stuck there. You just hate it. And you know, that's where you have the bad attitude start to develop. But on a good team, that bench can be a real positive extension of the starters. Brandon Johns, you know, both these big guys were 4 for 6 from the field, and they combined for 20 and 11. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Brandon Johns, he's got star written all over him, and he's not there yet. You know who I liken him to? Me. When I was a freshman, I came in with the number one tag in the state of Michigan, just like Brandon Johns. And everybody expected me to come in and be elite right from the start. And it took me a long time. The guys in front of me, Paul Heuermann specifically, he was better than me when I was a freshman. And he deserved to play. He was smarter. He had paid his dues. And so my freshman year, I played 12 minutes a game. And everybody thought, what's going on? You've plateaued. You're not good. And everybody develops at a different rate. And that game, the versatility of Brandon Johns, the activity, he knocked down threes. He dunked at the rim. His rotations were really good. You know who he spent most of the time covering? It was Wieskamp.
Mm-hmm.
Wieskamp's a guard, and he's a really good player. And Brandon Johns helped to slow him down. That's a really valuable resource, because moving forward, when you're playing teams that are specifically pick-and-roll driven, to have a big guy that can switch onto a point guard and contain him, in today's game, that is a massive advantage. So, yeah, I think that Michigan is a fun team right now. I think they're a happy team. They all know that they're going to get their shot, and it was really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, the Brandon Johns we saw against Iowa was the Brandon Johns we saw in high school.
Yep.
A guy with that kind of versatility to be able to shoot threes. We saw as he got deeper into his high school career, his athleticism show up more around the rim. Because I was really taken by. Yeah, it was great to see the threes and the dunks. But Brandon Johns on the glass. Brandon Johns on the glass. How many opportunities did he keep alive? How many possessions did he keep alive for Michigan by, you know, going out and grabbing an offensive board? I mean, he was just active on the glass, and that was something that we saw him get better at over the course of his high school career. So that, to me, like I said, 5 offensive rebounds in the game, led Michigan with 8 rebounds on the night. Again, it was, like you said, it was really great to see.
And the barometer that I always look at, can you grab 1 rebound every 3 minutes? Those are Dennis Rodman-like numbers. And Brandon Johns glides when he's rebounding the ball. And the thing that killed Brandon Johns last year is that he just needed a breakout game to prove that he could do it, to get into that feel-good zone. And he had it against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't play the next mm-hmm. game. And I think that just destroyed him, because he was ready in his mind. He had paid his dues. He had been mentored. He wanted to go out there and prove himself, and that was it.
I think the way, and we're going to talk to Phil Martelli coming up here on the Michigan Basketball Insider podcast, and I think one of the great things for him is the rope that this staff gives guys to play through mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a guy that last year, and even to a certain extent this year, you know, they're trying to get him to the point where he's not thinking so much on the floor. Not everyone's thinking a little bit right now, early in the transition. Imagine that being the case for a guy who was already in that boat last year as a freshman. But, you know, they allow him to stay on the court after he makes a mistake, or even two. And that, you know, John Beilein, who was great here at Michigan, but, you know, a young guy, a bench guy coming in and making a mistake or turning the basketball over, he's coming out. He's coming out quick. And so I think that's one of the things that might be empowering to some of the guys, especially guys that didn't play, you know, significant roles last year, like Brandon. You know, if you make a mistake on the floor, you aren't going to immediately be taken out.
Well, I agree completely, Sam. And One of the interesting things watching Big Ten games start up is that this is as good as we've seen with post players in the Big Ten. And think about Teske, Caleb Wesson at Ohio State, might be one of the very best big men in college basketball. And you've got Watkins at Penn State. You've got Coburn, who we're going to see on Wednesday at Illinois. Garza, yeah, we don't have to talk anymore about him. We know how good he is. Xavier Tillman at Michigan State. What Michigan learned on the on Friday night is that we can take away the three-point line, and we've got three big guys that can all cover the low post. So foul trouble is not going to be a massive issue. That might be a strategy that they're going to go ahead and try to implement moving forward.
So what do you think of the defense against Luka Garza? What defense there was? It was, in the first, I want to give him credit. I mean, he got his. Make no mistake. Do think he got a generous whistle, but he got his. But I think for Michigan, it was, okay, he might get his, but we aren't going to allow anyone else to go off. And while he had 44 points, and it was impressive to see him do that, as far as the, you know, the overall scope of the game, you know, it was one of the more meaningless 40 spots you're going to see, Tim, because, you know, they lost by double digits, and I don't think the score, the final score, was indicative of how Michigan really handled Iowa for the better part of that game.
Yeah, it's a bend, don't break system. And let me throw an analogy. You'll know this better than I, but this is what I thought on Friday night. Don Brown attacks with the middle of the field, and so he leaves LaVert Hill and Ambry Thomas and even, you know, Vincent Gray out there on a receiver by themselves, and they're saying, look, we trust you. You go ahead and cover your guy best you can, and if you do that, you know, we'll take care of the rest of the field. Is that a legitimate analogy? That's what Juwan Howard did. He said, look, we've got three big guys. You just go play Garza, do the best you can. We're gonna let him go one-on-one. And in today's landscape, with the rules that are set up, you can't cover a guy one-on-one for 8 seconds. Like, he's going to back his way in. He's going to use his body, especially a guy that can use his right and his left hand. And the whole game, I thought, Garza is the new age Ethan Happ, right? He's going to score a lot of points. You just have to stop the rest of the guys, because Garza's not going to score 105 points and beat you.
And defensively, I mean, you're going to have some success against Iowa.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question. I saw Fran McCaffrey has a defensive video out. I don't think it's selling too well. But it was, you know, it was a bold move by Juwan Howard to say, I've got so much confidence in my three-point shooters. They outscored Iowa by 30 from three. That's pretty darn good. The free throw line, that was something we worried about last year. 29 for 34 from the line. That's clutch. And every time Iowa made a second half comeback, Michigan answered.
Yes, they did. And again, you know, Michigan maintained a comfortable margin for the better part of that game, even with the comeback attempts, the runs, the performance by Luka Garza, who deserves a lot of credit. But like I said, they still lost by double digits, and they were lucky for it to be that close at the very end.
You can get the full Inside Michigan Basketball podcast, Sam Webb with Tim McCormick, and this week's guest, Phil Martelli, on the MichiganInsider.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. And in fact, we're going to listen in to a little bit, just a little bit of their interview with Phil Martelli coming up next here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor Cumulus Station.